Hello and welcome to the. What the hell was I about to say? Hang on a second. Right, okay. I screw this up every single time.
Don't be daft.
Hello and welcome to the Castaway podcast. Today we're going to talk a bit more about the different components of a device and, well, all the vape and paraphernalia. So I think last week we talked a lot about batteries and what else? I can't remember.
We talked about batteries and we talked about the device itself and how the electricity coming from the battery is regulated or not by the magical box that spits out vapors.
So today we're going to talk more about the tanks themselves and what they compose of.
Yeah, more about, like, tanks are just one of the options, one of the myriad of options that you've got of ways of vaping. But yeah, definitely that's what we're going to talk about. The way that the EU law puts it is it's something with a nozzle for the inhalation of nicotine.
Which covers absolutely everything, including your hose pipe outside.
Brilliant. Keep the bag.
There's nothing I like more than a little nozzle.
So, from I guess it starts with the basic one people will come across, which would be a tank, right? Which I think.
Yes, there's lots and lots and lots of different things that you can put on top of a device, and they vary in performance and power and cloud production and flavor production, and it's one of the biggest arguments that you get when we talk about this subject is what's best. I think that is the most unanswered question because it's so subjective. Adam loves a Kennedy because of it's got bottom airflow. Yep. I cannot put down a Mephisto because of its construction and the way it works. And then you've got somebody who'll swear by a Smok TFE-12 because it's the best. And then you've got a multitude of devices. There's RDAs, RDTAs. There are sub-ohm tanks. There are normal tanks. There are mouth-to-lung tanks. There are lung-hitting tanks. There are just 100,000 different ones, things that you can put on top of a device. The list can go on and on and on, and then you can go into sub paragraphs like the Jenny tanks, which are something completely separate, and then you've got mesh tanks now that are coming back into fashion. So I think what we should do is start off with the humble beginnings of a CE4.
Okay.
Now, you know the devices that you get where it's like the size of a pen and it has a see-through top on it, which is all one part and you've got to fill it up from the bottom. Have you ever seen them, Chris?
I've actually had one. I think these are one of the ones that you see quite a lot with people who are just beginning, right?
That's right. So this is probably the biggest leap in vaping technology was the creation of a CE4 tank compared to a cartomizer, which is what we talked about last time. It's Adam's favourite subject, that, actually, cartomizers. He loves them.
I love cartos, they're great.
the CE4 sort of was the best and worst thing to happen to vaping. The best thing to happen to vaping after cartos, but the worst thing to happen to after vaping till someone designed any other tank. Because a CE4 was just a very thin gauge wire, which was the element inside it, which was probably around about 30 gauge, I would imagine, thinking back. And it was like 5 or 6 wraps around some silica wick, which it would get sloshed in juice, and then it would heat. And you would get a mouth-to-lung hit from it. You could never lung hit it, but it created vapor better than a carto. Okay, and it would carry 1.5 mil of juice in it, which, compared to a carto, is like humongous. It's like a whale compared to a salmon. okay? It revolutionized vaping because these devices flooded the market in the millions all around the world at the same time. And in a very short period of time, they were popping up everywhere. You could, you know, when I first started vaping, I was the only one in an office block which had probably 3,000 people in it. I was the only one that was vaping. Everyone else was smoking. And it was a CE4 type of tank that I was using. Now, from that came a multitude of different tanks, and some of them were absolutely ridiculous. They had one of my favourite, like, crazy things, which in theory is a great idea, but in practice was crap, was a tank that had two tanks on it. So you could put two different types of juice in it, and it, one wicking element would go to one juice, and the other wicking element would go to the other juice. So you could sort of blend two juices together, but it was pants, and it didn't really work very well. And, you know, it wasn't very long before things like the Aspire Nautilus hit the scene, which was a better version of a CE4, a lot bigger. You could hold nearly 2 or 3, up to 6 mil in some of them if you've got the really big one. And then it was the tank explosion happened. So there's a multitude of tanks out there from a multitude of companies. Now, the most common tanks that are on the market to date are a Smok Baby Beast or an Aspire Clito. To me, they are the status quo everyday use tank that everyone in the world should have at least one of. Preferably the Aspire one, because the Smok one I don't think can compete with a Clito. I really, it's a personal opinion, but I would buy an Aspire Clito over a Baby Beast any day of the week, including Sundays.
Just for, like, what makes the difference between the two? Like, what's, it's a difficult one from my point of view, sort of when I'm looking at all the tanks, because...
Yeah, because...
You know, it's all the same, more or less, you
basically,
know?
When, where you are right now, Chris, you've been, what, vaping 2 months now, 3 months?
Two and a half months.
So when you look online and see tanks, you're basically just looking at the shape. That's it. It's visual. That the reason why you buy something, it's all in visual. It's not too experienced. It's not too research. It's basically when people go online, they look at whatever looks the shiniest and whichever looks the most badass 9 times out of 10. You know. Which is fine, because the only way you learn these things is by, you know, practicing. It's all subjective. So I know we could have 100 people phone in if we had phone lines, and they would argue the toss to say that a Smok's better than a Clito.
And they would all be wrong.
You know, they'd all have to go face a firing squad, and I mean, there's the mess and the cleanup after all of that.
But
it would be outrageous, you know. But the thing is, when it comes down to it, I have in my possession, in my personal, forgetting the shop, in my personal collection, I would estimate I have 90 tanks. Adam, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'd say that'd be fair.
I have definitely. I have drawers of them. Of tanks that I've tried. Because I love the idea of a tank. All right? I love the idea of putting a load of juice in a tank and forgetting about it and then just using it all day.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a great concept. The problem that I have with tanks is coils. They just don't last and don't work the same way as a what's called an RDA, or a rebuildable dripping atomizer, which to me is the pinnacle. It is the top shelf, top floor, top step device to have on top of any mod. Okay? I don't think there's... Well, I know. There's nothing better than an RDA. But tanks have their purpose. And that's because you can fill them up with juice. You can't really use an RDA when you're driving unless you've got three hands or a passenger. Because it's not very clever to drive and drip juice into a 24 mil tank when you're doing 60.
No, probably not. Probably not.
It's not the best thing to do. Would you agree?
And I think one of the big differences between tanks and drippers or RDAs is they're tidy, they're clean. You know, drippers, no matter how careful you are, you're probably going to get used to it at some point. And if you're not careful, you're going to be covered in it all the time, as I am, pretty much continually. But, you know, from a ease of use for the consumer, there's no need to learn Ohm's law. There's no lead, you know, you should, but you don't have to. There's limited mess. And as Ian says, they're convenient all the time. It's not, you know, you don't have to worry about re-wicking. You just buy a new coil. You don't have to even know what re-wicking is. Again, you just drop the cash, put another coil in, and away you go. You know, they're probably the most convenient thing that you can buy in terms of vaping. Doesn't mean it's the best, but it's the same as you know anything else. It's like, you know, what do you want a guitar that goes out of tune all the time but it plays incredibly well, or do you want something that sounds all right and, you know, stays in tune and doesn't break the back?
Yeah, and I mean, from my point of view, it's brilliant. Like, I go to work all day, it's nice to have it there. I still have to fill it up there, but it's super easy to do, and it's yeah it's not, like you say, it's not messy. Unless, well, it was messy the other day. I had a unicorn bottle.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if I squeezed it the wrong place or squeezed it too hard or something, but like your top came off. And I swear, I've never been like covered in more kind of sticky, gooey liquid in my life. And we all know I've been covered in a lot of sticky, gooey liquid. So
no, it's true. I mean, like the trouble with TPD is a lot of the bottles will fall apart. Yeah. You know, you got to be careful. That's something that you can't help. But you're right. I mean, it's a piece of piss to fill them and to not get juice dripping all over your face and your T-shirt and your beard.
I call them a plug-and-play device, basically. They are just a plug-and-play. Any tank, unless it's rebuildable, you basically just buy coils, screw it in, put all the things back together, find where you pour the juice into, and go. And that's basically the be all and end all. We can sort of detract and explain how to use a tank properly. And I think that's quite important. Purely on the very first time you get one or when you change your coil, there's a sort of a golden rule that you pre-wick the coil. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's just take, for argument's sake, a Cluedo. It's a four-piece construction tank. You have the base, which is the 510. Okay, which screws onto your mod. You have the glass or Pyrex chamber, and then you have the top piece, which is a top cap, which screws down to your coil, which then seals the chamber. And the coil is the final element, so it's a four-piece setup. Whatever you do, whenever you buy any tank and any coil, the most important thing you do is to get that coil saturated with juice before you fill it up, because it's very simple to burn a coil. You got to remember, it's something I tell every single customer. If that coil isn't saturated and there's any dry spots, any dry spot at all touching that coil, as soon as you press that button, it's going to burn. And you can't fix burnt. It's gone. It's dead. You're always going to have that burnt taste. So just spending that 2 minutes of your life, okay, of just putting juice onto the areas where the juice is going to get soaked into the coil, okay, that saves you a fortune. Because I've burned coils out myself loads of times by not giving it enough time to saturate. So that's the most important thing about a tank, in my opinion. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what type of coils to take, if it's 0.1 or 0.8 or 1.8 or 2.2. It doesn't make any difference. It's the most important thing with any tank, because you're going to have to buy a coil if you mess it up, is to make sure it's saturated first.
Just out of curiosity, with like on this subject, is the generally when I've changed my coils, even after pre-wicking it, I get like a cotton taste. Is that normal, or does that mean I haven't sort of it's not soaked up enough juice yet?
It's a bit of both. It might not have had enough juice yet, but even when you build an RDA, you're going to get a bit of a cotton taste. Now, the rule of thumb, okay, is it's going to take at least a tankful or at least a refill before that cotton is ready to go.
Okay.
So the first tank you get out of it isn't going to taste as good as the second tank. It's sort of like going to, I'm trying to think of the word, get run in.
Yeah.
So I know there's a word for it.
Yeah, running's exactly right. You've got to run it in.
You've got to run it in. Allow the wicking to take place. And I thought of a very good thing to tell you about wicking tonight, so don't forget to remind me.
Okay.
When it comes to the coils, you're always going to get a cotton taste when it's brand new, especially with RDAs. There's a lot of different wicking materials out there, which we can discuss. Some are better than others, and some have pros and cons, just like each other. And again, it's subjective. My preferred method of wicking is using Muji cotton, which is just 100% organic cotton that you get in little square sheets, which are lovely. But with a tank, you're always going to get that little bit of a cotton taste for at least 1 or 2 mil. It's the best way to describe, because most tanks nowadays are 2 mil, or they have to be.
Yeah.
So once you've gone through one tank, don't let it dry out. Hoist some more juice in, and that second tank will always taste better than the first.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what I've found, to be honest. So it's good. Hopefully it means I'm doing it right.
Yeah. I mean, if you are tasting cotton for longer than that, then it's possibly a problem with the coil.
And I don't usually get like a burnt taste until about a week or so in. Like with some of the coils I've used, because the device I've got's got different coils, so I've been trying each one. And with certain coils, they don't last quite as long. I'm not sure. Again, that could be down to sort of poor wicking or something like that. But generally, a week's about right, I think, with the ones I've been using lately.
Well, I'll tell you now, Chris, what I tell everybody. If you're using a tank and you get a week out of a coil, anything more than that, you're winning. It's that simple.
Okay. Good.
Now, if you get less than a week, that's unlucky. That's the only way to look at it. It's like, meh. I've only gotten 3 days out of this. I've only gotten 4 days out of this. You know, when you think about the cost of a coil, coils can range in price from £2 to £10. Okay? Now, if you're spending £10 a week compared to £10 a day, you've nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, yes, it's frustrating when you're in the middle of nowhere and you might be driving from on a 7-hour car journey, and 1 hour into that car journey, your coil gets burnt. You can be forgiven for being frustrated and a bit angry. But at the end of the day, it's not the device, it's not the coil, it's just sod's law.
What I do in those situations, I've always got a spare coil with this. Like, always got a spare coil. And, pull over 5 minutes and you're back up and running.
Best way to be. Scouts, be prepared.
And we're going to have a nice little segue there on RDAs, because one of the key things I've noticed from when I've been reading into it is the coils last a month or two, or I've seen longer. I mean, so there's a big cost saving involved with RDAs.
There's a massive, it's a bit of 6 and 2/3, because you're going to use more juice, but you're not going to spend anywhere near as much on coils. Now, if they're handmade coils, not manufactured, a handmade coil can last you up to 3 to 6 months.
Just to drop in here, because we can't recommend that. It can, but we no one in good conscience. The only thing that's carcinogenic out of everything that we use is reused coils. When you clean a coil and you dry burn, you oxidize the coil, and if it's a titanium coil, one, you shouldn't be vaping on titanium anyway, but you're gonna fuck your lungs, you're gonna lacerate your lungs. But even canthal, stainless steel, that's the only risk. And if you do it wrong, you end up with oxidization. You are gonna bollocks your lungs. That said, I've got a pair of coils in mine that are 2.5 months, 3 months old. So, you know, listen to everything Ian's saying, but I we can't in good conscience recommend you do it. You do what you feels right to you.
To follow on from that, it's all about maintenance. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can look after your coils by not trying to kill them, for starters. There's lots of do's and don'ts when it comes to coils. My rules are pretty simple. Okay? If I take the top off my RDA and my coils look like the inside of a chimney and they're covered in black ash soot, whatever you want to call it, smeg, okay? Then they need to be cleaned or they need to be changed. If they look like coils and they're just maybe a little black, the coil itself, but you can still see the individual cycles of the coil, then they're fine. But the one thing you've got to do is you've got to remember that the longer you use a coil, the more grime is going to get on that coil. So you've got to clean them. Now, a lot of multiple different ways of cleaning them. Personally, what I do is I dry burn them to get all of the gash or smeg off them first. I then wash them while they're hot with water, and that sort of vaporizes the water instantly, but it also blasts off any extra gunk that's on there. And then I put them through an ultrasonic cleaner. Then when I've done that, I then put them back through water without any heat going through it to wash off any residue from the ultrasonic cleaner. And I'll do that for about 10-15 minutes, because the stuff that you put in an ultrasonic cleaner, if it's a metal cleaner, isn't very good to vape. Trust me. I had to work this out myself. And it tastes like metal cleaner when you're vaping it, no matter how much you clean it. So you got to rinse the shit out of these coils, okay? Then I put some new cotton in it, I wick it up, I leave it for 10 minutes, then I rejuice it again, and then I use it. And if it tastes like the way it's supposed to, I'm all good. If it doesn't, I repeat the process.
It sounds like quite a long process. Like, what's... Because the cost of coils being quite low, like why wouldn't
it doesn't
you
have to be? And Ian's really, you know, going far into it. And also remember, he's got a load of different RDAs, so it's no skin off his back.
Yeah.
I mean, like the way I normally do it, because I re-wick a lot. I don't ever use tanks. I only use drippers. I simply, like Ian said, I take the cotton out, I dry burn it, I give it a little scrape with a metallic non-painted object when it's hot to get the majority of the carbon off. Mm-hmm. I heat it up hot, I flash it under a tap, heat it up again to get rid of the water, and that'll do me. You know, you can't, like, if it's a really pretty coil or anything like that, you can ultrasonic it. The ultrasonic makes it look really, really clean. You know, yeah. But it's not necessary.
To sort of like expand on what, and the reason why I do that, it's usually because the coils I've got in my RDAs aren't just 22 gauge, 6 wraps on each side. Okay. They're normally Flaptons or they're Claptons or Flat Claptons or Aliens or Juggernauts. These words aren't going to mean anything to anybody, but if you type them into Google and have a look at Juggernaut coils and Tiger coils and Hive coils and Staircase coils, there's a lot of work goes into them. They're sort of the high-end version of a coil, because they're handmade to the nth degree. There's a lot of time and effort goes into making them. It's not hard to do with a lot of practice, I have to admit. Once you practiced it for an awful long time, you will get good at making them. But if it was just, say, for example, Adam's favourite build, is it 7 wraps or 6?
5 or 6, yeah.
Say 6 wraps of 22 gauge spaced on each side. I wouldn't bother doing any of that. I'd just take them out and redo it all again. And it would take me, I would say, less than 5 minutes to do a replacement. Mm-hmm. To sort of like change the tyres out, if, you know, as an analogy. I would be, it'd be like a Formula One pit stop, you know, I would be going for it. But I could probably do it in less than a minute if I really tested myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's literally just unscrewing, pulling out, putting in, re-wicking, and going. You know, it can be a process that takes minutes, or if they're special coils and the, you know, you've spent a lot of time making them or you've spent a lot of money buying them, then get as much out of it as you can. You know, that if you've got money to burn, then buy a whole box set of them. You know, there's loads of out there. But maintenance of coils, they definitely, definitely last longer than any coil that you can buy for a tank on the planet. There isn't, I mean, barring one, I think there's one coil that would outlast it. And it's in the Phoenix tank by Council of Vapor. But that's because there's no cotton in it and there's no coil in it. It's a ceramic burning tank. It's a disposable tank. After 6 months, you replace the whole thing. You can't buy coils for it. It's a one-off. You will use that until it dies. And it's, I've got one. It's a year old. Haven't used it for like a long time, but I would imagine if I give it a clean with the brush that they provided with it, I would get a good 3 months out of it. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about a 40-50 pound tank. That one you can't buy anymore. And two, it's got a ceramic coil, so it's quite an expensive one-off tank, disposable tank, to buy. But it was very good.
Yeah.
All right, so the cost involved in RDAs is quite minimalistic for maintenance and upkeep. It's just a case of cleaning the contacts, cleaning the deck, making sure the screws are clean and it's everything's tight, and basically the cost of canthal and cotton. Now, to buy a decent RDA, that's where it can get as expensive as you want. There's tanks, there's RDAs out there from £12 all the way up to probably around about, I'd say, £500 to £1,000.
Wow.
Easy.
And what would make the difference between like a cheap tank and a £1,000 one? I mean,
it's usually the quality of the craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. Now, saying that, there's some very, very good cheap RDAs out there.
It's more a case of how much of a mad egotistical motherfucker you are, because anything above £100, you're buying a name or you're buying a load of chase work, you're buying a load of engraving, whatever you want, but you're paying for point of shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, even, I mean, I think you've got one that's made out of titanium, I think, haven't you, Richmond?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's less than £100 or 120 maybe, I think they go for now. And it's, you don't need anything better than that, man. You don't need like to drop anything. And I think, as Ian is about to say, which I'll allow him to continue, with there's some unbelievable bargains these days because the Chinese manufacturers are really getting their shit together.
Definitely. I mean, to drop one onto the table, there's a company called Org Vape, and they make a beautiful RDA called the Druger. And quite possibly one of the best RDAs, sub £30, that money can buy. It's the deck that is in it is one of the biggest decks you can find. And just the area that you've got available to build into is humongous. There's a coil out there called a juggernaut coil. It's probably one of the fattest coils you can get. And most RDAs will struggle. And there's a lot that won't even get into the same ballpark of putting two juggernauts into one RDA. So it's like a dual coil RDA. Mm-hmm. There's a massive, massive amount of RDAs that it will not go into. Okay, because the coils are so big. The RDA by Org Vape, you could put four in it.
Wow.
Because the area, the posts that you've got are so big, you could literally drop four juggernaut coils into it. Not just two, and most tanks would struggle with two. So for building, it can be a little bit tricky. You've got to practice. And if you're trying to put 29 gauge wire through it on each side, don't buy an Org Vape, don't buy a Druger, buy a Dot Mod instead, because you're never going to build a 29 gauge into an Org Vape. It's designed for bigger coils. but it's great to have one because of its price, because of its construction, because of the build deck. Everything about it is just well manufactured. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you go onto my Instagram page, there is a really good close-up. I think it's on there anyway. It might be on the Facebook page. We'll find somewhere to put this picture because it's a beautiful close-up, like, of the deck itself. I'm sure it's on the Facebook page.
I'm looking at Google now. Is this the silver top? What would you call it? Cap? With the...
Yeah, there's loads of different... If you just type in Druga, D for Delta, Alfa Romeo, Uniform, Golf, Alfa, Druga RDA, and just go to images...
Some nice ones.
You'll see it. The first picture says it all. It's 600 by 600. It's a beautiful, beautiful RDA. And then they're about 25-30 quid.
Jesus.
So, and there's now you can get them in all these stupid colours, which I think is pointless. But anyway,
the Druga. See what Ian's. Sorry, go on.
No, carry on.
No, I was just going to say. I mean, like the important thing to take away with RDAs is what Ian's talking about there is the build deck. there's now, I would say, four standards of build deck. There used to be two, there was three, but there's four. And what the Druga is it's kind of, you know, anecdotally known as a goon style RDA. You'll hear that bandied about. The goon was an RDA that came out last year, and it was the first very popular RDA that used clamps, which the Druga is kind of a version of,
yeah.
And that enables you to have a huge amount of space. So the build deck is where you put the coils. The bigger the deck, the bigger the coil can be. So what Ian's describing there is a Druga is a goon deck. So you have clamps.
It's actually a CSS, a clamp snag system, for anyone who wants to be a grammar Nazi out there.
But it's colloquially known as a goon deck because the goon guys were the first to do it. You know, in a major way, and the goons were excellent, but the goons were also 80 quid. They're now nowhere near as expensive. But same as everything else, you know, other manufacturers who can do it en masse, do it cheaper. Another very popular type of deck that you don't really see that much now, oddly, or at least this year we haven't seen that much, is a Velocity deck, which is a two post with four holes deck. Again, that was popularized by an RDA called the Velocity, which was a New York company, put it out 3 years ago,
Ian? At least.
It was like 3 or 4 years ago. It came out, I'm probably thinking of the V2, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the way that they're very clever is because you've got four holes, two posts with four holes, is the coil will automatically have a lower leg and an upper leg, and that let you just slide it straight in, piece of piss. Mm-hmm. They're normally not as big. They're newer as big. The other build deck that was very popular and you'd never see now in a recent this year's RDAs is the Kennedy style, which is three pins. So you have one positive and two negative pins, and it's a fucking ball ache to build on. Again, they were much smaller, much, much smaller. You don't really see that often at all. And then the final really popular, again, there's loads more than this, but the fourth and final, I would say, what would you call it? Like a dot mod style twin post, Ian. That's probably the way I'd put it. So what you have there is you have a positive and a negative post with one hole on each post, a total of two holes. My favorite dripper runs like that. It's a Kennedy 25. And again, that's a two post deck. It's not hard to build in. It's nowhere near as easy as a Velocity or especially a Goon. The Goons are incredibly easy to build in, or a Druga. The Vani Vapes. What's the Vani Vapes one called again? The Pulse.
The Pulse. Yeah. Deckless.
Yeah. It's a Pulse. Yeah, deckless.
Postless deck. Not a deckless deck.
Deckless deck.
It's just a deck.
The club floats.
I mean, the latest thing that's hitting the market right now, Chris, is the mesh RDAs.
Okay.
There's a lot. I mean, it's just another way. It's like, you know, the wire that we use to build coils is mainly one of three. It's either a nichrome coil, a titanium coil, stainless steel coil, and sorry, four, a canthal coil. Four different metallic materials that can be used to make coils, basically. Okay. But now there's another one that's came back on the scene, and that's mesh. Now, the mesh is just as you imagine a mesh wire to be. It's just like a mesh fence, right? With very tiny holes in it, okay? And it's more like a ribbon that's been created into a crosshatch configuration. So it then creates this tunnel of coil rather than a tube of coil. And then you've just chuck in the cotton and it vapes magnificently well. But the mesh builds from days gone by were in tanks that were called Jenny tanks, okay? Now, what you used to do is make the coil out of the mesh, out of canthal, but you'd use mesh as the wicking element. And this is where it was nth degree anal OCD, because you had to roll the mesh up probably around about maybe an inch of mesh, rolled up an inch by, say, 2 inches, rolled up as tight as you could make it, and then you had to heat it and quash it in water, so you'd oxidize it so it'd go black, and you'd repeat that process, then you'd cover it in juice and repeat the process, you'd cover it in juice, then light it on fire, burn it all till it was red hot, and then quash it in water. And then you'd use that to actually draw the juice up, and you'd wrap the coil around the mesh itself.
Okay.
Now, when they came out, I bought a Kraken tank, which was made by Vicious Ant, I think. And it was a very expensive tank. But the worst thing about the Jenny tanks and using a mesh wick was it was either one of two things. It was either the best flavour you've ever had, or the worst dry hit you can ever stomach. There was no in between. It was either perfect or you'd cough half a lung up. And they soon sort of came on the scene and vanished really quickly, because trying to get that to wick properly so you didn't just vape mesh that was hot was a very, very fine artistic challenge, to be honest with you. Nowadays, the mesh builds are dead simple. You clamp it in one side, you bend it round in the shape of a letter C, and clamp it down on the other side, jam as much cotton in there as you can, cover it in as much juice as you can, wait for it to soak in, then cover it again, and you're good to go. So, things have come a long way with mesh. There's a lot of good tanks out there. There's a DigiFlavor Mesh Pro RDA, which I'm trying to find a source myself. Then there's the Vandy Vapes Mesh build. There's the Vandy Vapes Mesh Tank. All of them are brilliant. Mm-hmm. Love them to bits. Cheapest chips, 30, 35 quid. I don't know how much the DigiFlavor Mesh is, though, but I'll find out, because I like the look of the DigiFlavor one. It looks a little bit, just a little bit better, a little bit more engineered. And I like over-engineering. It's great.
It's one of those amazing things now is like, you know, if you'd asked me 6 months ago about mesh, one, I'd have mentioned Jenny's and came out and called sweats on Ian's behalf. But to like, fuck it, you're reinventing the wheel. Do you know what I mean? What you're trying to do? But now it's so cheap. It's so incredibly cheap to experiment and to try something new. That I'm all for it. Yeah. You know, these Chinese manufacturers who are pumping shit out for very little money, you know, they're knocking out the park 9 times out of 10. You know, if you were saying to me, Adam, do you want to go and spend 100 quid on a mesh RDA? I'll tell you, go fuck yourself, man. There is no way I'm wasting 100 quid on it. But for 20 quid, I'll give it a go.
I found the DigiFlavor mesh. It's £26.
Big monies.
I'm about to buy one of them now. Literally.
Right.
All right, because it's an extra pound for gunmetal. What are you doing to me? That's ridiculous. Like,
there's no need for that.
What makes a good coil, and what are the benefits of these different types of coils? I mean, is it surface area, or because obviously I'm guessing a mesh, yeah, for instance, is going to cover more surface area of the cotton itself. Or
you're exactly right. It's surface area. You know, you can get right down to the minutiae of it, of how it vaporizes and the different rates it vaporizes. So you're going to get a continual heat. Blah 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 blah. It's a load of nonsense. It's literally just surface area.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. One of the good things about mesh, I feel, is because of the surface area, you're not going to get a dry hit. Mind you, because of the surface area, if you do get a dry hit, you're really going to fucking know about it. It's going to be distinctly unpleasant. But it's surface area. You're exactly right.
Is that why you'd use, say, a juggernaut coil over just a standard kind of...
I mean, personally, again, you're speaking to me, and my favorite build is, as Ian said before, is 22 or 20 gauge in 6 wraps. I'm pumping enough power through, and I know how to wick well enough that I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Because it's always about that marriage between the coil and the wicking. So, you know, there's actually a new thing going on at the minute in the vaping community, a new type of wicking, which is hard wick. Which is quite confusing because we live near a place called Hardwick, and I was like, Hardwicking?
What's that?
What is like some sort of car boot sale or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's people are always experimenting and trying to find new ways. What Hardwicking is basically putting a solid mass of cotton in and relying on you doing it well enough that it will wick. Because again, if you get that wrong, you're just going to have an inhalation of burning copper, cotton. Or not copper, that would be even worse, wouldn't it?
That would be nasty.
Don't wick with copper.
Don't vape copper. Don't try and make a coil out of copper either.
Oh, no, God, no. It'll melt.
It'll be painful.
It probably won't melt. You'd be very unlucky if it did. But it would on mine. It wouldn't on mine. It wouldn't quite get that hot. But it oxidizes. Verdigris is not a good thing to breathe in. And we've all seen verdigris because we've all seen the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
Imagine how lovely and green your lungs would be. But no, wicking, surface areas, it's a big part. To be honest with you, most coils, once you get past Claptons, you build them because they look really pretty.
Yeah,
it is. It is just pretty things because, I mean, when you search like coils online and you have a look at some of the things people create, they're works of art. They're not coils. They're just works of art to make something look pretty, because the amount of wire that's been used to create that coil, you're probably going to need about 380 watts for about 5 minutes to actually get any vape off it, because it's going to take so long to heat up. And so when it comes to the coils, I'm a great believer in trying them all. Why not? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you never know what you might like.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the simplest things are the best, because you don't have to go to the nth degree to get a coil that works. You can just do 6 wraps of 22 gauge spaced, okay? So there's a gap between each of the wraps, rather than tight. And you put that on either side of an RDA, and it comes out at about 0.2, 0.3 ohms, all right? And then it works, and you get a beautiful vape off it, and lots of flavour, and a shit ton of vapour. Like, when me and Adam are in the shop together, and the door's closed, it doesn't take long for us not to be able to see the door.
No.
Okay? Because I'm vaping my 0.5 ohms, or 0.4 ohms, at 40 watts, and Adam's vaping his 0.25 at 150,000 watts. And it's like, and then there's also juice all down our T-shirts.
We're both just slavering everywhere.
We need bibs, to be honest with you.
Vaping
bibs. There's an idea. We'll create the Castle Vape podcast vaping bib for all your T-shirt needs.
Excellent. Merchandise.
So, merchandise, definitely. But coils, as soon as you get past staple Claptons, in my opinion, you're going a bit too far. Juggernauts are monstrous coils, and they're lovely. They look badass. They look like something that's inside the Terminator's brain. And, you know, they get red hot, and you can see the craftsmanship of the coil that's been made with ribbon wire, and it's just beautiful. But to be honest with you, it's going to ohm out at around about 0.1 ohms, or maybe 007, or something like that. And it means you're going to go through batteries in hours rather than in day cycles. You're going to be changing your batteries twice or three times a day, even on a twin battery mod. So the bigger the coil and the more outrageous the coil is, the more power you're going to need. The more power you need, the more batteries you need. The more batteries you need, the more you need money. So it can get quite expensive if you were to buy a limited edition mech mod with a limited edition RDA on top of it with two super juggernaut coils on each side. It's going to be a crazy day for you.
And to be fair, on top of a mech, I mean, that's going to be... You're going to be pretty close to where it's unsafe if you're not already unsafe. It would have to be a big fucking RDA to fit enough metal in to make it safe.
Yeah.
Which goes back to what we were talking about last week, you know, battery pull and stuff like that. But Ian's exactly right. I mean, you get some stunning coils. Mm-hmm. Have a go at them. Buy them, make them, learn to make Claptons. If you can learn to make Claptons, you're always going to have a really, really good vape. Yeah. But even then, to be honest with you, man, I still go back to 22 gauge, 20 gauge, and or 18 gauge, memorably.
Or alternatively, you do what Adam does and say, Ian, have you made any coils lately?
Yeah, put them in mine, please. I can't be honest.
Ian, are you making Claptons today? Well, you are.
I mean, I know, like...
So, but no, it's...
Like, Ohm's Law will be a big part of it, but we're going to cover that in its own right, I think, in an episode.
Yeah.
But what about the cotton? Is that, like, does that play a big part? I mean, what are the different types of cotton you use?
By Muji. Just by Muji.
There's loads to choose from. Honestly, there's a multitude of cottons you can buy, and some of them are just basically rebranded cotton. It's the same cotton, just in a different
packet.
Like
the cotton...
At the end of the day...
Cotton balls from Boots and...
No, it's got to be unbleached. Let's
just clear this one up right now. There is a right way and a wrong way to do this. Now, I've had people using a Tampax to do, right?
Oh dear.
That's not a good idea, right? I've had people buying cotton buds from the local chemist. That's not a good idea either. It's better to get some organic, unbleached cotton. Now, it's usually quite an off-white colour, so the more white it is, the more bleaching it's been to. So, if you really want to be super tight, you can go and buy a roll of cotton from a chemist that's pure, and it says organic cotton, and it costs £1, and it's about 5 foot long, okay? It's a lifetime supply of cotton, but if you use it, you're going to be vaping bleach. So the only way you can get rid of that bleach is to boil it, rinse it with mineral water, boil it, and rinse it with more mineral water, and boil it in mineral water, because you've got to get that bleach out. Mm-hmm. So there's no point in spending 3 days going through a boiling, drying, rinsing, boiling, drying, rinsing, boiling, rinsing, drying process when you can buy cotton from your local shop. Honestly, it makes more sense, all right? It can be done. But why would you bother? Okay. You can get Muji from most shops, which is fantastic. It's not expensive. If you're paying more than £1 for 10 of the squares, then go to another shop. There's Cotton Bacon, which is another type of cotton. There's Fiber Freaks, which is a cellulose. There's Fuzz Cotton. There's Fusion Cotton. There's a load out there. There's Kendo cotton. To be honest with you, most of them are just a brand that you're buying. And some of them are fluffy as fluffy could be. But Muji, to me, is the best because it stays together better. It's not just a ball of cotton that you've got to like manipulate to stay together into a sort of tube. So Muji's the most practical, best performing, and it works. The cotton flavour loses itself after 1 mil of juice going through it. So the cotton's run in within a minute. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go to say that it's going to take a minute for any others, because it doesn't. It takes a lot longer for some. But Muji cotton is probably the best, and it's so inexpensive. You could buy a lifetime supply for about 20 quid.
Okay.
Okay, it's that simple. Just don't bother with any of the rest. You can always try them. Some people prefer them. I personally prefer Muji. And I have one customer that swears by cotton bacon. In fact, one shop in the northwest of England has a shop and he sells vape stuff. And he has a warning sign saying, please do not eat the cotton bacon. It is not bacon. So, there are some people out there that have to be told. Muji. All day.
Okay, that's good. No, I mean, like, I just, it's another one of those things. I had no idea. It looks, when I've seen videos of people sort of, like, putting the cotton in and things like that, it's wicking. That's the word, right? No.
Yep.
Wicking, yeah?
Yep. But it is, in essence. So, it's getting the wicking right. Yeah.
And
that's a skill in to itself.
The texture and everything looks like just the cotton buds, you know, so I assumed it was the same stuff, but... Yeah, it's good to know, definitely.
Yeah, definitely good to know, man. You just don't go to Boots and buy cotton buds. It's not going to work.
Tampons.
Or tampons. They don't work either.
Is that someone in a very desperate situation by any chance?
I have once out of desperation used bleached cotton. It didn't go well.
So, the other thing that you can have when we're talking about tanks and things. That we've covered RDA quite a lot. We're going to probably cover RDAs again in another episode because it's such a fascinating thing to talk about RDAs and builds. But the other thing that's out there, which is very hard to get nowadays, is what's called an RDTA. Now, this is very similar to an RDA where you've got posts and you can build. But on an RDTA, it has a tank underneath it. So you get the benefits of a tank and the benefits of an RDA in one complete unit. Now, I haven't seen any available right now because of the 2 mil sanctions and Gestapo politics of the TPD. Okay. But there probably will be some new ones coming out that are going to be TPD compliant. That might just have an extra glass piece and chimney that'll make it into a 4 mil tank. I don't know. Maybe that'll happen. But one of the best I've seen is one called an Alpine. Quality of build is amazing. The flavour, the engineering is fantastic. The Alpine RDTA. If you can get a hold of one of them, buy one. Just do it. You won't be disappointed. Come to Castle Vape, I'll wick it up for you and I'll put a coil in it for you. But RDTAs are very good. There was a device that came out by iJoy, was it, Adam?
Yes, yeah, I know the one you mean.
iJoy,
Smokewade one as well, the Skyhook.
The Skyhook, yeah, it was basically a device that had a tank in it and an RDA deck. So it was the best of everything. iJoy made the best one. The Smok one was crap because it leaked and killed the chip within about a month. The Skyhook was pants. The iJoy version of it was really good.
Okay.
The other things you've got are, you've got things like the good old Nautilus, which was a mouth-to-lung tank, which is still available now. There's the Nautilus 2s out now.
And that's an RDTA as well?
It can be. You can get a builder deck for it. But it's in the... In fact, it was called the Survival Kit, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Survival Kit was excellent.
The Survival Kit was four things in one. It was an RDA, an RDTA, Nautilus 2, and something else as well. A normal tank.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you'd have the best of everything. You could rebuild it. You could put a coil in it. It does both. A lot of tanks out there have rebuildable decks. So rather than you buying a coil, you just re-wick it and re-cotton it. So there's a lot out there where you can get it, like... Let's call it an adapter. So you can make it into a rebuildable device rather than buying coils for it. Cleto does it. The V8s do it. There's quite a few out there that do it.
Okay.
In fact, if you give me 2 seconds, I'll be AFK for 2 minutes.
Yeah, no problem.
But yeah, I mean, there's RDAs, the Krylin at the minute is an incredibly popular one. And I would recommend that everyone, I don't know how they're doing it, but you can get a massive tank for that.
What's that called?
It's like 6 mil. A Krylin. Vandy Vapes. Yet again, Vandy Vapes, the same people who made the mesh, the same people who made, it's cheap Chinese stuff that's really quite well made. There are a couple of people who come in and piss and moan about it leaking. Mm. If you do it properly, it won't leak. I've wicked several and none of them have leaked. But there are ways and means around the EU TPD. And obviously, if you live in America, it doesn't matter.
I think with the one I have, it came with a 2 mil tank, but it also had a 4 mil tank and a chimney extension in the box, which seemed like kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like it's sort of, I don't understand why you put a rule in there that you can break.
It won't last. I mean, like the British government, obviously, I can only talk for the British government, but they're going to start coming down on it hard. They're going to change the way that everything is licensed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these loopholes will be closed.
Yeah.
But you might as well buy it while it's not.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I guess...
Shop it while it's hot.
So an RDTA is ideal, basically, for someone who wants to use the... benefit from the cheapness of the coil, but also wants to be able to travel around with a full tank, basically, right? Like that sounds like a good device to have.
They are very good. I find them very messy because there's a couple out there. There's a Limitless made one, which has got a really big sized juice filling area, but it's on the side. And if you forget that, and you've got the top off it, and you've got juice on it, if you turn it in any direction, it's just going to pour out all over the place.
Okay.
Right? There's a couple that are... what's called a top fill, where there's a centre pin in the centre of the deck, where you just pour the juice down this pin. It's literally a wicking juice fill hole. Yeah. The Alpine's got one of them, and so has... What's the other one I've been using? Oh, the Cluther?
The Cthulhu.
Cthulhu. I call it the Cluther.
It's the Gaia Mods. Gaia Mods Cthulhu.
Okay. Yeah.
That's an excellent, yeah.
That hasn't got the best filling hole, because it's so small.
Vacuum. It vacuums quite badly.
Okay.
But the Alpine's probably the best design... for filling and usability. The flawless one, not flawless, limitless one, is probably the easiest one to build in and get the cotton in right, because you can take the whole thing apart and then put the glass on top of it. Okay? Other than that, there's a few other RDTAs out there that I haven't actually used.
I mean, the RDTA, the popular one at the minute, if you can get a hold of it, because obviously it's not, it is TPD compliant, but you still don't see it much. It's the Pyro, which is the Vandy Vapes one. That's the RDTA. That's very similar to a Cthulhu. And then it's the RTAs after that. But the new one that I can think of RDTA wise is the Pyro.
So the other tank that's available today is what's called an RBA. It's a rebuildable atomizer. Now, it's usually in the form of a tank, which is, it looks like every other tank, but when you take it apart, you don't buy a coil for it. You make a coil for it. And it has a build deck built in, and then a chimney where you've got the cotton inside the chimney and the coils inside the chimney, which then go to your mouthpiece. And they are... probably the hardest one to get the wicking right.
Yes, no doubt about that.
It's an art form. Luckily, I've done enough of them that there isn't any I really can't do anymore. And the best advice I can give people is less is more. Just even in the length of the wicks. Normally, if you can imagine this, Chris, you've got a build deck. And on each four corners next to the build deck, you've got four holes where you've got a push the cotton through.
Okay.
And usually there's usually a depth of that area of about 2 mil. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what you've got to do, the best case scenario for any rebuildable atomizer, be it the Kaolin, be it the Vandyvibes, a Berserker, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is leave half of that clear of cotton. So you only put the cotton halfway down where it needs to go. So all you're doing is blocking that hole off for the juice to not flood. The whole purpose of any rebuildable is, especially in the rebuildable tanks, is you're just stopping it from flooding. You're not trying to jam as much cotton in there as you can to think that you're going to get enough wick in there that it's never going to get a dry hit, because it's going to be the opposite of that. It takes too much juice to wick up that it never flows fast enough. Whereas if you leave a gap between the bottom of where the wicking area finishes and the top of where the wicking area starts, and your cotton is halfway during that gap, that's the perfect setup for just about 99% of all the rebuildable atomizers that's currently available.
Top tip.
So there you go.
So I think that. We're going to leave squonking for another episode, but have you guys got time to talk about picks for the week? Like tips or...
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. I'll start off with Kilo Premium E-Liquid White Series Ice Cream Sandwich. Hello, beautiful. It's one of them juices that when you vape it, it just all makes sense. It's, according to itself, a 5-star liquid, which I completely agree with. It's smooth, it's silky, and it just tastes like ice cream and wafers. Yum, 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 yum in my tum, tum,
tasty,
tum.
Tasty, I like it.
I'm going to recommend a juice that I'm not going to vape anytime soon, but I'm still going to recommend it because it's back out. It's Fried Cream Cakes by Liquid EFX, which is a flawless line. It is one of the most tasty, delightful juices you will ever have. It tastes, the Americans call them Twinkies. I don't know what we'd call them over here, but it's a fried one of them. Oh. If you have a beard, do not vape it.
I'll shave it off.
Well, in that case, you may vape that, but the smell sticks around for ages, and it smells a little bit like rotten donuts. But it tastes delightful, but your missus will not go near you. And if you have a beard, she will not go near you for like 3 or 4 days, because it will not go. It just will not shift. But it is a cracking vape. Absolutely cracking vape.
I hereby authorise you to buy me a bottle of that.
I don't require your authorisation for shit.
I know, but I'm just, you know, dropping hints here.
All right. We'll order a bottle this week. Hint. It's in on the suppliers.
It could be the shop vape.
But you couldn't vape it in the shop. Honestly, it would make the shop stink. You'd have to go outside to do it.
We could go into the courtyard next to the drawbridge and do it there.
Yes, courtyards. Courtyard vapes.
Courtyard vape, we'll do that.
I might have to get some sort of hose so I can vape it. Or a beard net to hold my beard back. It wouldn't come out.
Jet wash would get anything off.
Honestly, it wouldn't. Like, I shampoo my beard.
You can shampoo your beard and I'll jet wash it dry.
Doubt it.
I would love to do that.
I was in Boots today and I tried on Dior Sausage. It smells quite interesting.
Does it smell like sausage?
Well, it's called Sauvage, right? But it's spelled sausage. So.
That's beautiful.
No problems. Okay. Oh, and I'd also recommend the Druga. Buy a Druga. I don't care who you are. Advanced vapor, starter vapor, intermediate vapor, hobbyist vapor. Buy a Druga. You must have it in your collection. It's one of them that you will not regret buying.
Or if it's too airy for you, buy the Berserker. Buy the Berserker, buy Varney Vapes. Yeah. That would be my recommendation. I mean, I'm not a mouth-to-lung vapor, but that would be my recommendation. For a mouth-to-lung type. If you're a hipster. Okay.
Yeah, Adam's definitely a hipster.
Well, let's wrap it up there. Just with the knowledge that Buckley is a hipster. I think that's a good place to end.
He carries a typewriter. He carries a typewriter around with
him. He does?
And there's a wandering minstrel following behind me at all moments for my musical needs. Other people carry phones, not I. I have a wandering minstrel, a typewriter, in a scarf at all, moments.
Which drags on the floor.
Hey, mister, I want to know, are you a hipster or a hobo? I'll give you a clue, I'm both.
Love it.
Well, thank you very much for this week's podcast, and thanks for people for listening as well. And
thanks for having us. Most people wouldn't.
Absolutely, that's it. I mean, I don't know how many people will be still tuned in at this point, so for those that are, that's lush. Well done.
Hi, man.
Hi, man.
But, yeah, to be honest, I didn't think my mum would listen to this.
No, my mum wouldn't listen to this.
No, I should tell
me.
I
did try to get my dad to listen to the first episode just for his feedback, and I think he made it about halfway through. So that was good. That was good.
Yeah, that's good.
But, okay, right. Anyway, thank you very much, and we'll catch up next week with... I guess we'll continue where we left off, really, kind of maybe talk about squonking.
Squonkity donks, squonkity donks.
Squonkity donk, donk, donk.
All right, then. Cool. Have a good night.
Mint. Thank you all very much, chaps.
Take care, and I will even do it just for Daniel Hastamaniana.
Have a delicious evening.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.